It's the On the Shore podcast. Unfortunately, another time not on the shore of Lake Michigan in Chicago, Illinois, broadcasting from Ohio once again. I'm Lucas Moore. And the NBA hit, I think, its most interesting point of the year last night. Christmas Day. Finally, this is when all those people that don't really talk about the NBA all the time on national television and local radio shows, this is always the time of year where they'll start paying attention and they'll start talking about it, right? You know, NBA, guys who love the NBA, they're paying attention day one. But these guys are the guys that only watch the NBA Finals, the playoffs, Christmas Day games. Even they're paying attention now after what we saw last night, Lakers, Clippers. And right now we're at a point in the NBA where we have three teams that we think can win the championship. Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. And yes, I am in complete agreement with that because of how good they are. I mean, that's obvious. They are incredibly talented teams. And if they're all healthy, they should 100% be the three teams we're considering to be the NBA champion. But my thing is, this is not as certain as what we just had. So we've been kind of spoiled by the last 5 years of basketball. You had the Warriors and the Cavs. These teams were getting there every year. So every year, everybody's predictions were right. The Vegas favorites at the beginning of the year to make the NBA Finals were right. That's probably for the last 4 years. 5 years ago, maybe they weren't the Vegas favorites to start. But the last 4 years, it's been Cavs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors. Now, last season, we just think it last season was an anomaly where there was major injury with the Warriors at the end of the year, and we got it wrong. But I think that's going to happen more often than not, especially because the NBA has separated its star talent. Now we've only got two stars a team. So any little nick, and we saw that with LeBron James last night, a nick on the groin, a little injury. That happens in a playoff series, the Lakers can't survive it. The Clippers can't survive a loss of Kawhi or PG. The Bucks can't survive a little nick on Giannis. And that's why I think this season has the opportunity for teams like Houston and Philadelphia and Boston and Dallas even have real opportunities to make runs like we've seen in basketball's past. You know, 2006, the Miami Heat. It just feels a little more open. It feels like that's something of that nature where a team where we're not talking about them all year, a Houston or a Dallas, we're talking about them that they're a good team, but they're not championship contenders. And then I think we'll start talking about them because I think they might be there in the end because health is something I don't think we're really taking into account. Well, we've got an NBA expert who follows it closer than I. He's tied in. We have Scoop B. Robinson joining us. Scoop, how crazy am I for thinking that it's not going to be Lakers, Bucks, or Clippers? Not because I think those teams are better than the Lakers, Bucks, or Clippers, but because of what we saw last year with the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals, that there's going to be more injuries, and these teams are so thin at the top, it's wide open.
No, I think, first of all, thanks, Lucas, for having me on, as always. I don't think it's far-fetched. I think the reality is we just don't know. I had this very same conversation with Charles Barkley about a month ago. He said to me what you basically said. For years, it's been Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Cavs, LeBron, Steph Curry, LeBron, Steph Curry. And now this is the first time where we just do not know. And to be honest with you, I think that's good for basketball. You know, everybody's assuming, and you know what they say about assuming, that it's going to be one of the LA teams, and that's the narrative that people are selling. And then in the Eastern Conference, you just don't know. You look at the Sixers. Many were saying the Sixers were going to make it to the finals, and then you notice that there are some glaring holes that they have, mainly the fact that the 76ers do not have kind of like that veteran guard. You lost that and Jimmy Butler, who went to Miami, and, you know, you did resign Tobias Harris, but you also lost J.J. Redick. And then I think, you know, last week, or you see how well the Bucks are playing, and people are kind of getting hit to the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo was just that good. And it's like, oh, wow. And then he has a supporting cast, Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, Robin and Brooke Lopez, and what have you. It's funny because I had this conversation with a former Milwaukee Buck on the phone the other day. And, you know, he also played for the 76ers. And he was telling me how background or city dictates, you know, how well a player is locked in, you know. And this was, we had this conversation post Lakers Bucks game last week, how, you know, if you're in Philadelphia, it's a Northeast city, you have things to do. You look at Milwaukee, it's all about the Packers in Green Bay, and it, in Milwaukee, it's conducive to just focusing on basketball and the advantage that Giannis actually has. You know, just sitting around focusing on basketball. He came out swinging against the Lakers team, who was on a pretty tough road trip, playing the Pacers. That's where LeBron got hurt and what have you. So I think it's a kind of package back up what you asked me. I think it's very wide open in both conferences, because even in the Western Conference, who's to say that Portland is not a sneaky eighth seed? This is a team that went to the Western Conference Finals last season, lost to the Warriors in the Western Conference. Who's to say that the Houston Rockets can't sneak up on somebody? You got a potent James Harden who could go for 60 if he wants to, playing alongside Russell Westbrook. Clint Capella's on that team, P.J. Tucker. So I think this, more than anything else, is an exciting time for basketball, but really and truly, anybody can win it right now.
Yeah, and that's what I love about it. I mean, when you talk about the Houston Rockets, yes, they've fallen short in the playoffs, but they've fallen short in the playoffs against one team. We were talking about the Raptors, Scoop, as a team that has fallen short consistently in the playoffs. No, they fell short against LeBron. As soon as you remove LeBron from that equation, look what the Toronto Raptors did. They won the title. And they're a pretty good team in the East again, and who says they can't make a run to the NBA Finals? And I think this might be the same situation for Houston, although I don't like the way that team is made up. They are in the category of team, Scoop, that a little injury luck, not major injury luck, not game-changing injury luck, they are just a little bit of injury luck away from being a team that can certainly take home the Larry O'Brien Trophy at the end of this season because of how explosive those two players are, Russell Westbrook and James Harden. They could just exchange night to night in a seven-game series, and they might win 4 out of 3 against every single team in the NBA. These things are on the table. It's definitely better for the league because it makes it even more wide open. I mean, this is great for basketball in terms of guys that are watching the league, Scoop, but what about the question of, is this good for ratings, right? There's not this big, giant villain out there in the NBA. There isn't a team that everybody's hating on. Are you worried about any of the ratings drops? What are your broad opinions on the health of the NBA in terms of not having this dynastic team anymore with the Warriors stinking it up and nearly falling to the lottery?
I think a lot of this is just talk radio and for print. And I think that those who watch basketball, they know it's not decided in the first quarter of the season. I think you brought up a valid point about the Raptors. When you look at the Raptors, they lost Kawhi. I think the Kawhi effect helped them a lot. And I also think that gives them a confidence booster because they are a dark horse. Everybody's on the Philadelphia bandwagon. And I think, and the Milwaukee bandwagon. I mean, they added Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, former Brooklyn Net. And Kyle Lowry, still Kyle Lowry. Marcus Gasol is still Marcus Gasol. And Pascal Siakam, I think, is the wild card. And I think a lot of people slept on him because, you know, he was playing alongside Kawhi Leonard. And I'll add this. I said this often on talk radio. I believe that Pascal Siakam is doing for Toronto what Scottie Pippen did for the Bulls the first time Michael Jordan retired. And he took the Bulls guided the Bulls to a semifinals matchup against the Knicks in 94, which they ended up losing. The Knicks went to the finals in 94, lost to the Houston Rockets. But I think Siakam is a dynamic player that is playing well and deserves the recognition that he is getting, will continue to get. But I think that there's so much parity in the NBA right now, every team has at least two stars. I mean, you look at the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving and KD are the duo, but right now, you know, KD's not playing, Kyrie's not playing, and, you know, they're still benefiting from Spencer Dinwiddie. Caris LeVert will be back soon. You know, and Jared Allen at the center position is playing well. So, you know, Brooklyn has a lot of assets there. You look at the Knicks, when the Knicks finally do get it together, I mean, they even have two guys on the team. You have Julius Randle, and, you know, you can take R.J. Barrett as that other guy. Or, you know, if you want, they have a lot of role players on the team. So I just think in the NBA at large, there's just a lot of wealth distributed of stars and complementary players within that star system on each team. You even look at the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, Brandon Ingram is playing decent basketball. Once Zion Williamson comes back, will he be that guy, or will it be Lonzo? Actually, Drew Holiday, who's on the trading block, has been on the trading block since last year, but people are acknowledging it now. But, you know, he's a guy that's complimentary. So I just think right now in basketball, in the first quarter of the season, it's just a lot of what if, who, what, when, where, why, how. And I think ratings really come into play. Playoff time, finals time, and I think all will be right with the world.
Yeah, I'm of that same opinion. It's just one of those things where you say, yeah, this is great for the NBA, and you just want to see the numbers. But I agree, patience, time. And as long as LeBron and everybody is healthy come the end of the year, I think ratings will be just fine for the NBA playoffs.
Sure. Yeah, I think ratings were fine last year, too. I think it was good to see somebody not named LeBron playing in the playoffs in the finals last year.
Yeah, but there was star power, right? You got to have those stars. You can't have a dud finals where somebody isn't healthy within the finals, like to both stars. So if it were Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals, Lakers are missing LeBron, and then the Clippers are missing Kawhi and PG, I think the ratings are hurt a little bit in that type of series. That's the type of injury thing I'm talking about, not just one player, one star, not LeBron specifically. But speaking of LeBron, is AD and LeBron the best duo in the league to you? I mean, through this point in the season, we've seen them on Christmas Day now. Where do they rank in terms of duos?
I mean, they're up there. I spoke to AD. We've been speaking off and on throughout the course of the season, and I asked him, you know, why have you guys been able to click right away? He said that their ability to click even surprises him because they didn't work out a lot during the summertime. He said LeBron was focused on Space Jam, and he said that LeBron joked with him and told him they're not quite peanut butter and banana, or they're not quite peanut butter and jelly yet. They're more peanut butter and banana, and their pick and roll has been pretty impressive. I listened to Jeff Van Gundy and Mike Green and Mark Jackson talk about the pick and roll in the Lakers system. And, you know, AD and LeBron have found it. LeBron playing a point guard, I think he averages about 10.6 assists per contest, and he wants to lead the league in assists. And, you know, he's been putting up stats. And, you know, I think Anthony Davis has found his own. You know, he told me NBA championship and NBA defensive player of the year are his goals this season. And he's living up to those expectations. He's missed a couple games during the first quarter of the season with, you know, various injuries, rib cage and then his foot. But, you know, Anthony Davis has been the most consistent, next to LeBron, most consistent guy on the Lakers squad. And I think the thing that's been infectious is the chemistry. You know, I think aside from them being the dynamic duo on that team, I think it's the infectious potency that of just chemistry that has spread throughout the course of that team. I spoke to Danny Green last week, and we discussed just how everybody encourages each other. You look at Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who struggled the first few games of the season and has now found a rhythm. You know, and Danny Green said to me that, you know, when Avery Bradley went down, you know, KCP picked up the slack, both offensively and defensively. And, you know, even Dwight Howard, you know, playing well and still playing on a non-guaranteed contract. I mean, hell, the Blazers guaranteed Melo's contract. It's time for, you know, the Lakers to guarantee Dwight Howard. But, you know, Howard has been playing well. And that game in the second game that Anthony Davis sat out, you know, Howard stepped in and scored 20 points against the Pacers, and, you know, he still has it when he needs to have it. But I think Anthony Davis and LeBron's chemistry has balanced not just themselves out, but the whole team.
Yeah, I love the Lakers, man. I love watching them. The thing about KCP for me is every time I think he's not any good, he plays good. And then every time I think that he might be good, he doesn't play good. It's one of those things that he is the most confusing player that I've ever watched play basketball, honestly, in terms of trying to predict what he's going to do next or how he's going to perform in this situation. He's the first guy to me that I just have no idea what's coming from KCP. And that makes me nervous, but then you look at the numbers and you're like, all right, I think he's got a spot with this Lakers team. Who else is going to get a spot on this Lakers team? You've got the inside info. Iggy, is this happening? Is there a combo guard out there? Some are saying that Rondo might not be able to get it done for this Lakers team. How can the Lakers improve this roster? And are the Clippers going to keep stealing players from the Lakers and improve their roster, or is there some sort of secret team that could be getting some of the best buyout options and trade pieces? What's the big news on the rumor mill, Scoop?
Well, as far as what you said about Rondo, I don't think that's a fair assessment. I think I spoke to Nancy Lieberman at the beginning of the year, Hall of Famer, Nathan's Hall of Famer, and she said Rondo is one of the smartest NBA players out there. She said LeBron is up there as well. At large, I think that, again, it's easy to hit a panic button, but Rondo's been playoff tested. He's won a championship on a team full of stars, studs. And, you know, I think it's a process, and I think, you know, I think that the Lakers are continuing to grow. To directly answer your question about who the Lakers are going to get, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the Iguodala thing is very tricky because many teams are just not going to help LeBron win a championship. And you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, and you look at the fact that they don't want to just let Iguodala walk because they know he's going to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's a big thing. And to that point, the Lakers need an Iguodala-type player because offensively and defensively, he's an asset. So, you know, there's talk of, you know, what can the Lakers showcase that could make a trade viable for Iguodala to come? And, you know, those contracts that were signed this summer are officially guaranteed as far as, you know, you can now make trades as of December 15th. You know, fans say, okay, well, can Davis Caldwell Pope has been playing well? You know, should the Lakers trade him? I've heard nothing of that sort. But I know that there is a free agent market that's open. You look at the defensive side, Corey Brewer defensively could help the Lakers. You look at offensively, Jamal Crawford is still available. You know, I'm going to always ride for Jamal. I can tell you that, you know, the Bucks and the Toronto Raptors have inquired about Jamal. And
yeah, why is he not on a team? This is one that I really don't understand. Like the Carmelo thing, you know, that one was a confusing one, but it was just this major defensive flaw, plus he's a storyline. Do you really want him in the locker room? I'm really confused on why Jamal Crawford hasn't found a place in the NBA. Could you clear that up for me? Because I really am just unbelievably confused why nobody has signed Jamal Crawford as of yet.
Well, in the case of Jamal Crawford, it depends on who you ask. I think most teams, it's kind of like the quarterback position in the NFL. You know, that position is set opening week, and then players get hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt. You look at the Detroit Lions in football. Stafford got hurt, and then the backup quarterback started his first game on Thanksgiving Day and killed it. And I think they ended up losing that game to the Bears. But offensively, he played well. I can't think of the quarterback's name, but I remember watching the game. I think it's the same thing applies with Jamal Crawford. He's 39 years old, and many people say he's old. But, you know, I talk to Jamal, and Jamal will say, I'm not mad that people make that statement, because what 39-year-old do you know that can do things that I can do at this point in their career? particularly at the guard position. I think it's different when you're a big man. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, if I'm not mistaken, played until he was either 40 or 42 at the center position. Jamal, it's going to be come down to perfect fit. You look at perfect fit. You asked me about the 76ers. So we talked about the 76ers. Matisse Thybulle is going to be out for a few weeks. The Sixers had interest in him last summer. But then at the same time, you look at basically what a team may need. You look at the Milwaukee Bucks. They could use another scoring guard. You look at the Lakers. They need scoring. You look at just, I don't think he's just going to go to a team just for the heck of it, because he did that last season playing for the Phoenix Suns. They weren't a playoff team. But the impact that he left on the Phoenix Suns was heavily beneficial, because look at how well the Suns have played at the first quarter of the season. Devin Booker and, you know, Ayton is getting back into the rotation and things. But for Jamal Crawford, at this point, it's right fit, right team. You know, you look at the Portland Trailblazers. They had an injury to Rodney Hood. You know, he could fit in there, but, you know, I told you they're a sneaky eighth seed, but I think playing for a Lakers or a Sixers or a Bucks or even a Raptors team is much more sexier than playing for a Portland Trailblazers team. So it's got to be right fit for Jamal at this point.
Yeah, bottom line, dude's a 35% career three-point shooter. Last season that he played, 33%. If you're a contending NBA team, you could use that on the outside from Jamal Crawford. I think that he'd be a valuable piece, but I think Andre Iguodala is the player that swings it all, Scoop. That is my opinion in terms of Lakers, Clippers. It's Andre Iguodala, because you need to go back to KCP last night, late shot, open. It kind of, I think it was a long rebound out to KCP. It's just those last-minute shots. You know that Andre Iguodala, throw out the percentages. I could care less about stats, numbers, analytics, anything. You know that Andre Iguodala is going to make big buckets in big games if he's open. If you get Andre Iguodala open, he's going to stand there and shoot a three and make it in a key situation. He did it time and time again with the Golden State Warriors. I just think having that type of championship presence on the team is so much more important than what he'll bring, which is really important in terms of perimeter defense. This 3-and-D player that can guard wings, that can help out LeBron in terms of managing the load of Kawhi and Paul George and letting Anthony Davis protect the rim a little bit more. I think it goes beyond that. I think it goes into, if he joins the Lakers, he adds championship DNA, that final little push to help out LeBron James win a championship. I think that's how important Andre Iguodala is this upcoming trade deadline. I think he's the piece that swings this whole thing, Scoop.
Yeah, I think you bring up a valid point, and we have to see and wait what happens. As you notice, I don't like to put predictions out there as much as I was last season, because everybody has something to say, and it gets annoying and repetitive after a while. But from a person who hears a lot, I will tell you that basically what I see and what I hear is Memphis isn't looking to give up, just give up Iguodala, and it's going to be a trade package, you know, that's beneficial to them. You know, it's like, okay, you look at the Lakers roster, you got guys like Danny Green, Avery Bradley, Quinn Cook, Kyle Kuzma. You know, are you willing to give that up to get Iguodala? That's a core of your team. You know, this is like the same conversation we were having about Anthony Davis last season, you know, and it's like, is Memphis looking to just take that? Maybe not so much. You know, and then you look at, you know, the conversation about, you know, do they find a way to get Jrue Holiday? You fans on Twitter talk about that, and you talk about Derrick Rose and all of that stuff. And it's like, you kind of have to be realistic, and you also don't want to give up your core to get Iguodala, particularly like a Danny Green, particularly like a,
yeah,
you know, Avery Bradley, who's a defensive specialist.
No, you don't want to give up a guy that fills that. You're trying to fill the need that Danny Green kind of fills now. You don't want to take that away and then add Andre in there. It's just a shame. Why is Memphis feel, just because it's the Lakers? I mean, they don't want to work with the Lakers because they're the Lakers. I mean, I know Andre Iguodala is a veteran presence for them, but is he really a part of what they're building, their future with John Morant? I mean, I just don't understand why Memphis would want to you know, handcuff themselves just out of spite? Is that really what they're trying to do here to the Lakers?
Yeah, for sure. The same reason why San Antonio wasn't looking to give up Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers to help them win a championship. It's the same thing.
I don't know. I think when you run an organization, I think that Memphis, but like, does Memphis, so is the entire Western Conference then claiming that they are rivals with the Lakers? Because if that's what it is, then that is a real disadvantage for the Los Angeles Lakers moving forward. And I guess nobody likes the Yankees in baseball, but people still deal with the New York Yankees and they still try to, you know, respect a veteran player because that's how you get future players to stay. If I'm a small market general manager, I'm bringing in veterans, and if they want to be bought out, I'm buying them out so that when I set my team up to be a really competitive elite team, that I can maybe bring guys there or get guys to stay like Ja Morant. But that's my own personal opinion on it. Hopefully the Lakers can just, here, have Quinn Cook. Sure, maybe he'll get better in Memphis, I suppose. And I don't even know how many draft picks the Lakers have, Scoop. They gave them all up for Anthony Davis. What?
Yes, they did.
Well, would the Memphis get like a 2030 first rounder for Andre Iguodala? Is that what's coming down the line here?
Yeah, pretty much, man.
Oh, man, the NBA is absolutely wild. Well, Scoop, I really appreciate you joining me on the program. When's the next time you're coming to Chicago? You gotta let me know, man.
All-Star weekend.
All-Star weekend? Perfect. That's what. Yes, that's not too far away. February, man.
Yes, sir. We in there like swimwear.
100%. 100%. Well, that was Scoop B. Robinson joining us on the Shore. We'll have him on regularly. Again, thank you to you, Scoop. You're the best.
I'm in. Thank you for having me, man. Always good. Always a pleasure. And keep doing your thing. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Scoop. All right, that's On the Shore. Remember, subscribe, like, share, all those great things. Max and I will get back together soon. Promise. It's On the Shore. See you later.